presents the work I did with my co-authors, Rebecca Lieb and Lawrence Barker. This presentation today, I'm afraid, will only focus on behavioral outcomes associated with physical abuse, as opposed to both physical and sexual abuse, as reported in the abstract. Therefore, there might be some differences in the results in this particular presentation. So physical abuse, or physical child abuse, defined by the CDC, is intentional use of physical force against a child by a caregiver that results in or has the potential to result in physical injury. Physical abuse is the second most common form of child maltreatment behind neglect. Based on retrospective self-report in 2006, one study has estimated that approximately 30% of young adults has reported early physical abuse prior to the sixth grade. While costs to physical child abuse alone are uncertain, the direct and indirect costs, or estimated cost of all forms of child maltreatment or child abuse, can exceed $90 billion annually. Early physical abuse has been linked to many mental and behavioral problems manifesting in adolescence and adulthood, such as depressed mood, suicidal thoughts, and low self-esteem. And as we probably know, that some of these symptoms are often considered internalizing type of symptoms. And we also know that early physical abuse has also been associated with conduct disorder, increased aggression, and delinquency. And these symptoms are sometimes referred to as your externalizing type symptoms. And some research has shown that, in general, females are more likely to report internalizing responses to physical abuse. However, more research is still needed to explore the differences by sex with regard to some of the externalizing responses. And this study was designed to expand on these previous findings. So specifically, this study investigates the potential interaction between sex and early physical abuse on a broad array of mental and behavioral outcomes among high-risk youths. These outcome variables were in the areas of suicidality, victimization by peer or date perpetration, criminal activity, friends with those engaging in criminal activity, and illegal drug use. To study these objectives, we conducted a secondary analysis of cross-sectional data from the Youth Violence Survey, which consists of items addressing many forms of violent behavior and early childhood experiences. Data were collected by my colleagues in the Division of Violence Prevention at the CDC in April 2004. This survey was anonymous and self-administered in a school setting. To assess these outcomes, the study focused on a youth population that resided in a high-risk community. Using a multi-stage process, a community was selected based on having high levels of poverty and unemployment and serious crimes such as murder, drug dealing, robbery, and aggravated assault. For the chosen site, all public schools participated in the selected districts. This particular analysis focused on the seventh grade population, the earliest grade surveyed. This was to characterize mental behavioral health needs in early pre-adolescents or adolescents, so we can assist efforts to prevent behavioral problems that might manifest later in adolescence or adulthood. Out of 1,796 seventh grade youths, approximately 83% participated, and there were 10 schools in this district with seventh graders. All participants were English speaking. The main exposure variable for this study was early physical abuse. This variable was dichotomized as did or did not experience physical abuse prior to the age of 10 years. For this study, physical abuse was operationalized as actually having injuries such as bruises, cuts, or broken bones as a result of being spanked, struck by a parent, a guardian, or their partner. Therefore, this definition potentially represents severe physical abuse. The outcome variables for the study were also dichotomized and included within the preceding 12 months of the survey, had thoughts of suicide, had planned suicide or attempted suicide, been victimized by a peer or victimized by a date. perpetrated peer violence, perpetrated date violence, used illegal drugs 2 or 3 days or more per month, had ever engaged in criminal activities such as robbery, vandalism, or drug dealing, and had friends who engaged in similar activities within the preceding 12 months of the survey. And I used chi-square tests were used to assess the differences by sex. Adjusted prevalence ratios were used to compare the outcome variables between those who did and did not experience early physical abuse. Prevalence ratios were used because they're easy to interpret in cross-sectional studies. All estimates controlled for other forms of maltreatment, such as experienced sexual maltreatment prior to the age of 10 years, witnessed violence between caregivers prior to the age of 10 years, and ever witnessed violence or illegal activity in the community. We also controlled for race and ethnicity. I used Poisson regression with robust variance estimates, adjusting for clustering within schools to estimate the prevalence ratios, the 95% confidence intervals, and the p-values. This approach has been found to provide viable estimates. An interaction term between sex and early physical abuse was included in the regression models to test for significant differences in the relationship of physical abuse to the outcomes by sex as well. Because there were multiple outcomes, the adjusted prevalence ratios predicted by the multivariable models were deemed statistically significant when the p-value was less than or equal to 0.005. This level maintained an overall probability of committing a type 1 error to be less than or equal to 0.05. And all statistical analyses were conducted using Stata SE. I'll be with you in a minute. I think we're froze up on here. So describe this population. I just hate that one slide. To describe this population by race and ethnicity, this sample of youths were 51.5% Hispanic, 26.1% African American, and 16.9% white. The male and female populations did not significantly differ by race. We found that among this population, 18.9% reported early physical abuse. We also found that 6.8% reported early sexual abuse. 25.6% reported witnessing violence prior to 10 years of age. And 61.3% reported witnessing violent crimes, such as stabbings and shootings in their communities. Also, as shown by the bolded values, a significantly higher percent of females than males reported having been sexually abused and have witnessed family violence. The next few tables present the adjusted prevalence ratios for early physical abuse, sex, and the interaction term for early physical abuse and sex for each outcome. All of the assessed outcomes, suicidality was the most strongly related to early physical abuse. Reports on thoughts of suicide, planned suicide, and attempted suicide were over twice as prevalent among children who reported early physical abuse versus those who did not. There were no significant differences in the association between early physical abuse and suicidality between female and male 7th grade youths. Victimization was also associated with early physical abuse. However, we found no significant difference in the association between early physical abuse and victimization between male and female 7th grade youths. The association between early physical abuse and perpetrating peer violence was not statistically significant. However, there was a significant difference in the prevalence ratios between the sexes. The interaction term was significantly greater than 1, which indicates that the prevalence ratio was significantly higher for males compared to females. The association between early physical abuse and perpetrating dating violence was not statistically significant for this youth population. This association was also significantly different between, or not different between males and females. Early physical abuse was also positively and significantly associated with reports of using illegal drugs on two days or more per month. While illegal drug use was more often reported among males than females, there was no significant difference in the association of early physical abuse to illegal drug use between males and females. Early physical abuse was positively associated with reports of engaging in criminal activity and having friends engaging in criminal activity. Criminal activity was more often reported among males than females. However, the interaction term was significantly less than one, which indicates that the prevalence ratio was higher for females compared to males. So to summarize these findings, this study found that approximately 19% of this seventh grade high-risk population reported a severe form of early physical abuse. Consistent with previous research, the study also found that early physical abuse was associated with suicidality, victimization by a peer or date, having friends who engage in criminal behavior, and illegal drug use. The associations between early physical abuse and these outcomes were also not significantly different between males and females. We did find significant differences by sex with regard to the relationship of early physical abuse to two of the outcome measures, the prevalence ratio between early physical abuse and peer violence perpetration was significantly higher for males, which may imply that males are more likely than females to externalize violent tendencies following early physical abuse. However, the prevalence ratio between early physical abuse and criminal activity was significantly higher for females, indicating that females may also have or externalize some form of antisocial behavior in response to abuse. More research is still needed, though, to investigate the mechanisms of these particular findings. So some limitations of this study include that the results are only generalizable to a high-risk seventh grade youth population. Data were only supplied by self-reports, and that these reports may be subject to recall bias. This, of course, was a cross-sectional study, and therefore we cannot really infer causality. The study was unable to capture those currently being abused or control for the impact of being abused following the age of 10 years. And this study was unable to control for other forms of maltreatment. So in conclusion, I just wanted to present some of the findings that we got from this sort of rapid needs general association study. Of course, there's a gap between right now what we know and what we do to prevent child abuse and its consequences. The CDC supported a task force that developed a guide about preventive services. This task force has found that home visitations is a promising strategy to prevent child abuse. Cognitive behavioral therapies can help reduce the consequences of child abuse, and various school-based curricula can help reduce violent behavior in high-risk populations. Furthermore, in light of the findings from this study, we also believe that more attention to preventing peer violence may be required for young high-risk male victims, and that counseling to prevent criminal antisocial behavior may still need to be emphasized for young high-risk female victims as well. So on that note, I'd just like to thank the following people for their help and support for the study, and give the CDC disclaimer, and thank you. Sorry to...